Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome on in to another episode of In the Hoop. My name is Tanner Dawson with the Sports Podcast. Joined with me is JG of the Sports Buffoons and Scott. That's J-Cobe1. What's up, Scott?
Not much. How you doing?
What's up, you?
We're on the way back from Milwaukee, and the guy I was supposed to host isn't up yet, so we're doing this thing in the car, baby. JG, what's going on?
Not much, man. Hey, at least you have the Range Rover today. I didn't think you were going to have that available to you.
I wish. So, all right, guys. Well, playoffs are right around the corner here starting. Final games are today and tomorrow. The NBA playoffs. Lots to talk about. Lots of drama this last week. JG, we'll kick it off to you here first, man. Out of all these scenarios, what do you want to talk about first?
So, yeah, everybody's resting players right now, so we can talk about Lakers versus Suns last night. So Phoenix Suns, they rested their core. Four players of Durant, Devin Booker, CP3, and DeAndre Ayton. And so obviously the Lakers were able to win that game. Anthony Davis had 14 points, also 21 rebounds. And then LeBron had LeBron only played 29 minutes, so he went 16. 6-6. You had D'Angelo Russell chip in 24, and then Malik Beasley had 21 off the bench. I'm looking at these upcoming games here. I mean, pretty much anything can happen. I mean, you might even have some of these teams try to tank their last game just so they can try to avoid playing the Phoenix Suns in that first round. So the next games, I mean, basically the Lakers – right now are in the seventh spot. They're going to host Utah. Phoenix Suns, they don't really care. They're just going to tank their last game. They host the Clippers because they're pretty much locked into that four seed, so they don't really have anything to play for. So that'll be an easy win for the Clippers unless the Clippers try to tank, which is also a possibility. And then Golden State Warriors, they got to play against the Trailblazers without Dame Lillard. So that's going to be an easy win for the Warriors. Clippers are the only team that have two games left out of the mix of those four teams. So the Clippers are going to host Portland and then play at Phoenix. Presumably, if they want to win those games, which I find it highly unlikely that they want to win both those games, because why would you want to play the Phoenix Suns in the first round if you're the Clippers and Paul George hasn't even been on the floor? I mean, that's basically a death sentence. And so I firmly believe that the Clippers will try to tank in at least one of those two games, because the Clippers, they own the tiebreaker against both of those teams. So if they ended up tying with the Warriors or the Lakers, they own the tiebreaker over both of those teams. And so if the only way they can try to avoid that five seed and have to play the Suns in the first round, which would be a disaster for them, is to try to tank either one or possibly both of these games. But yeah, I mean, it was a great game for the Lakers last night. I still have some concerns as far as how healthy they are. I mean, LeBron and AD both have their foot injuries, and a lot of concerns. It looks to me like the Lakers are probably going to end up in the play-in tournament, and they're going to end up facing either the Grizzlies or the Nuggets. I could see them possibly beating the Nuggets just because the Nuggets don't really play too much defense. If they somehow matched up against the Grizzlies, however, I just think the youth and the athleticism and the defense on Memphis would be a little bit too much for the Lakers to overcome. So best case scenario for me at this point for the Lakers is, you know, you want to play the Nuggets in the first round, because I think the Nuggets are one of the most overrated teams right now. You've got MVP candidate in Nikola Jokic, who can't really play shit for defense. And, you know, nobody really trusts these guys because they've never done anything in the playoffs. And so I certainly don't trust them this year. But, you know, Lakers, they got a long road ahead of them. You know, no matter who they draw in the first round, it's going to be a tough road because, if let's face it, these guys are old. And LeBron and AD are both on the backside of their careers. And so I don't have too high of expectations for the Lakers. But Suns, you know, they're locked into that four seed. And so they're going to get a bunch of rest here over the last few days of the season. So they got one game left, and they'll probably be resting all their starters once again.
Yeah, and what Sacramento basically did for Golden State is hand them the first round series against Phoenix. Because I see Golden State beating Portland for sure on Sunday. That's number one. Number two, I agree with you with the Lakers. The play-in game probably is the worst thing that could happen to them in terms of that. So trying to get the sixth seed would be something the Lakers want to do. I think the Clippers will go all out to win the first of the two and then see where they stand on the second of the two and say, okay, we don't have to play these guys. We're going to play just bench guys and guys who don't play a lot in the last game. So Golden State's playing Phoenix, and Klay Thompson's come out and said, we don't care who we play. As long as we're healthy, as long as everybody's on board, we could beat anybody in the West. So Golden State's going in with the mindset of, we don't care who we play. We're going to beat them anyway. So and I don't think they're going to beat Phoenix in the first round. I can't see Phoenix losing four straight or four games to Golden State in the first round. So,
yeah, and I think with the Warriors, and that's the attitude that they should have, because they're really the only team of all the teams that we've been talking about that have the tools, that have the depth in terms of their roster that could even compete with Phoenix. And so I admire their confidence because, like, they're – you know, I think they're fully capable of at least pushing that to a seven-game series. But, you know, so I firmly believe that the Warriors will get the five seed. But, again, the Clippers must tank one of those last two games.
Yes.
If the Clippers win both, they are absolutely screwed because then Golden State would drop down to that sixth seed. But I don't know. I like the matchup. I mean, Golden State did beat Sacramento last night. Sacramento was resting De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. Sacramento won that game 119-97. Stephen Clay combined for 54 points. DiVincenzo chipped in 18. Jonathan Kuminga with 15 points. Sacramento, I firmly believe that they're going to end up playing the Clippers in the first round. And I think that could be a very interesting series because we don't really know where Paul George is at in terms of his recovery and his rehabilitation. And so he may not even be in basketball shape for that first round. And so I think while I think it would probably go six or seven games, I think the Clippers could actually be in trouble if that ends up being their first round matchup, because nobody really expects the Kings to go deep in the playoffs. But I certainly think that they could handle a Clippers team in the first round that has Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, and maybe a Paul George that, I mean, do we want to say that he's going to be playing at 75%, 80% when he first gets back? I don't know. Any way you slice it, I mean, the Clippers could be in trouble no matter who they play in that first round. But again, you know, It's all about, you know, who are the Suns going to play? And, you know, I think the Warriors are the only team that are well equipped to do that in the first round because they have so much depth. I mean, you look at you got Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Jordan Poole, Wiggins. You got a bunch of guys that can put up 20 to 25 points on any given night. And then you've got guys like Gary Payton II, who plays really good defense. Jonathan Kuminga with his athleticism, he's shooting 53% from the field this year. You've got DiVincenzo that can hit threes. That's just a deep, deep team. And like, you know, I know you said, Scott, that you think that the Suns would probably win that series. And that's, I think it would be more interesting than people believe just because of that depth of Golden State, because let's face it, Suns, they do not run deep at all. And they've got, you know, at this point, a 55-year-old point guard in CP3 that probably should have retired like 2.5 years ago. And you never trust that guy's health. And he also tends to not really show up too often in the playoffs with his A game, his field goal percentage. We talked about that, I think, on Wednesday. His field goal percentage is down. He generally shoots around 50% from the field, but I think this year he's down to 43%. So when you're just running with Booker and KD, that's the best 1-2 punch in the league by far. There's no question about that. But absolutely, Golden State has so much depth and so much experience, and we all know how difficult it is to run it back and go back to back in any professional sport.
Right.
But I think this would be more interesting series, Suns versus Warriors, than people believe. And, you know, definitely the Suns would be favored, but I'd be interested to see, you know, what the futures bet would be on that, because I would probably that would be a solid bet for me to pick the Warriors to win in that first round, because it's not as easy as people think it is. I think the other thing you got to look at is like the one team in the league that you don't want to be disrespected is the Golden State Warriors, because they're going to shove it back in your face. Not to mention they would love to hand it to Kevin Durant, who kind of just left them high and dry. Should have never left that team in the first place. To go to Brooklyn and basically just waste a bunch of time and energy. Right. And, you know, Kevin Durant, he's obviously an older player and he's starting to get more injuries piling up as his career goes on. And it's just kind of like, man, now that you wasted all that time in Brooklyn, now you're an older player. I mean, I'm sure the Warriors would love to just sit him down on his ass and kind of show him who the best team is.
So are we headed toward a Phoenix Golden State winner against Memphis in the Western Conference Finals, you think? Because I like Memphis coming out of that side with Sacramento. You know, the Clippers are in that side too as well. And the top play-in, which may be the Lakers, may not be the Lakers.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you there. I think Memphis would certainly make it to the Conference Finals just because, like I said, I think the Nuggets are just overrated, man. And Jokic can't play defense. I don't really like the way that team plays defense. But the Grizzlies, on the other hand, they not only play really great defense, but they have the experience. They have that playoff experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, they lost to the Warriors last year, but Ja Morant wasn't healthy. Right. And so they've got a lot to prove. But again, they've got the experience to at least make it to the Western Conference Finals. And most importantly, they don't have to deal with those bums down in Dallas that were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Unbelievable. And
they promptly shit the bed once they got Kyrie Irving. Again, different story for next year. I think they can be better next year down there in Dallas. But I mean, I think it's certainly the Grizzlies should be a favorite to at least make it to the Conference Finals and face either the Warriors or the Suns.
Speaking of that, I don't know if Tanner can hear us. He says he can, but I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on the Dallas situation? It's eerily strange where you can have a chance to make the last play-in spot, but instead you say, all right, we're done for the year. Yeah. I mean, they have a chance to lose Luka after next year, supposedly. So, you know,
well, I think at some point you just kind of got to pack it in. I mean, Kyrie, again, we like to talk about older players. You don't really want to get Kyrie banged up right at the end of the season when you know you're not going to win anything anyway.
Yeah.
I think that they can be better next year if they retool that roster and get some more 3-and-D guys. That's really all they need, because, again, I think we talked about this last week. I mean, teams like Golden State, you know, they like to hide Steph Curry on the defensive side of the floor. You can do that with one great superstar like Steph Curry or a Chris Paul, for example. It's easy to hide one guy on the defensive side of the floor. You can't hide two elite players, your two best players on the team with Kyrie and Luka Doncic, because both of those guys are going to be on the floor in the final 2 minutes of a game.
Right.
And so if you know that's going to be a fact, then you've got to have three other guys that are just elite,
yeah,
locked down 3-and-D guys, because you know that Luka's not going to play defense worth a shit. You certainly know that Kyrie's not going to play defense.
Exactly.
And that's fine. Those guys are not there to do that, but yeah, they've got to retool that roster. I do think that Luka and Kyrie can coexist. But I think that when the trade was done, we all know that that's just not enough time to find that team chemistry. And, you know, I think Jason Kidd's an amazing coach, but I just think they need an off season to retool. And I think that Kyrie and Luka, frankly, they need a full regular season to be able to play together, because they're just kind of getting their feet wet, you know, with Kyrie working his way into the mix. And so I think it will be different next year, but you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, this was a complete disaster. What a waste of time. But that's because the media hates Kyrie. They always have. Everybody loves to talk shit on Kyrie. I love Kyrie Irving. He's one of the greatest scorers that the league has ever seen. And I think they can figure out a way to fix this, but they had to give up so much in terms of depth when they made that trade that they certainly need an offseason to retool. Get a 3-and-D guy in the draft. But you gotta hit free agency hard and find some guys that can play defense, because those two guys certainly are not going to play any kind of defense for you.
No doubt. And you do. You need to retool that roster for sure. I just think you need to basically say, okay, Kyrie and Luka are gonna be our top two scorers, no defense. And then just say we're going after all defensive guys in free agency, and in the draft we're going to find the best rim protector or whatever we possibly can, and retool it that way. So,
and again, Cuban will, you know, toss Kidd to the side if there's another losing season next year.
It's possible. It's, again, as we said last week, it's Mark Cuban. He's liable to do anything, but I think Kidd kind of put a good spin on it in the press conference last night when he said, I agree with whatever Mark Cuban and the GM decide they want to do. So I think he bought himself another year. But if they have a losing season next year, I could see them moving on from Kidd, even though he is probably a top five coach in the NBA for sure. So,
yeah, I mean, the ball is in Kyrie Irving's court right now, because Mark Cuban has already made it known that he wants Kyrie Irving for the long haul. Now, Kyrie obviously is going to want a supermax. He's going to want a 5-year deal. I don't know if Dallas could give them or should give him that deal. If it were me personally, I would give him the max, but I certainly wouldn't do a 5-year deal. I'd probably go with more like a 3-year deal with Kyrie. And maybe Kyrie will do that, but the ball is in his court, whether he wants to sign there or not long term. But, you know, Kyrie Irving has proven that he can play off the ball and win a championship. He did that with LeBron James. And so I think with Luka being a ball dominant superstar, you know, I think this thing can work, because Kyrie has already proven that he can play off the ball. I do think Luka needs to play a little bit more off the ball at times, and be more of a facilitator. That's the big difference between LeBron James and Luka Doncic, is Luka Doncic needs to get a little bit better in terms of being a facilitator, but also playing a little bit more off the ball. So, I would like to see Luka spend more time, you know, maybe just running off of screens and being more of a catch and shoot player at times, and kind of let Kyrie run the offense.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, JG, you have any shocking deals with your standings? Like, is it kind of how you expected all this to shape out after tomorrow? Like, nobody sneaking in that you thought would be there?
Yeah, it's kind of what I thought, but again, I think the biggest shock to me, because we've talked about these last two games for the Clippers being cupcakes, those are easily winnable games. And I don't know what Ty Lue's mentality is going to be going into this. If he's got the same mentality as Golden State, where he just up and says, we don't care who we play, and they win those last two games, then that's going to be a shocker. That would be the biggest shocker to me if they go in and try to play Phoenix in the first round, because that's, like I said, that's a total death sentence. And so the biggest shocker to me is if we don't get that Suns-Warriors matchup in the first round. And I also want to talk a little bit about that Chris Middleton injury. Wanted to know what you guys' level of concern was with that Chris Middleton injury. He tweaked his knee, I believe it was on the April 5th game against the Bulls. Went up for a fadeaway jump shot, and he tweaked that knee that he's kind of been nursing it all season long. Now, he had an MRI on Thursday that came back clean. Bucks obviously are locked into the one seed, and they're probably going to be playing either the Heat, Hawks, or Raptors in that first round. But I did want to throw it to you guys just to find out what your level of concern is there with that Chris Middleton injury. And do you really think that they need him at 100% in that first round?
I don't, honestly, but I think Middleton is the glue guy for that Bucks team. So I think as they get into the deeper into the playoffs, when they get in the second round, and then when they play, inevitably it's probably going to be the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's the debatable too, whether the Celtics get there with this Jaylen Brown injury. I just think he's the glue guy. And I think you saw it last year when they played the Celtics that they missed him a lot, and they missed him being at 100%. And if he's not at 100%, going deeper into the playoffs, they may have trouble sustaining a winning series against whoever they meet in the ECF. So that'd be my thoughts.
I think
you need Middleton though to be at least 85%.
So if you guys had to put a number on it, because I think my level of concern would probably be a 3 or a 4. Just because I agree, they certainly don't need him in the first round, but they need him to be healthy. And the fact that they took him off the court after tweaking that knee, and the fact that he's been kind of nursing that thing for the entire regular season, that's been going on for a long time. I don't know if it's just like a pain management issue or what, but I'd put my level of concern at maybe like a 3 or a 4. You know, in that second round, they're probably going to draw either the Cavs or the Knicks. I think they're going to need him for that. And I think they're going to need him to be at least at 85-90%, because the Knicks and Cavs, I don't view those teams as a pushover. And I don't think that those are two teams where you can just, well, let's just throw Giannis out there and he'll take care of business. I don't really see that happening. So I would give it a 3 or a 4 on my level of concern for Middleton. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm at a 4 with that. And it could be a bigger if they try to rush him back and play him in the first round, especially if they're in control of that series, which they probably should be. You're going to get a very athletic second round matchup against either the Cavs or the Knicks. So you're going to need him in the second round. So I would say don't play him in the first game. Don't play him in the second game and see how the first two go at home. And then make a determination after that. If you split them, then maybe you bring them back with game 3. If you win both, I think you don't bring them back.
So, yeah.
I'm kind of with you too. I'd say about a 4 or 4 or 5 worry level. And we've seen it before too, where guys come back when a little too early and next thing you know, they're out for the whole playoffs. So. Yeah. The Bucks can't afford that kind of thing to happen.
Yeah, and I think too that the Bucks are putting it out there that he's going to be ready to go for the playoffs. Well, we don't really know what that means, but I'm with you, Scott. I'm keeping him out for games 1 and 2 at a bare minimum. And when you bring him back, I'm putting like a 20-minute cap on that guy. I'm not letting him sniff 25 minutes in a game until the second round. Because if you guys remember from last year, he's also the closer. And if you don't have your closer going into the Eastern semis or the NBA finals, then you don't have a chance. As good as that defense is, as good as that roster is, I mean, you don't need him in the first round anyway, because against the Hawks, Heat, or the Raptors, you've got a bunch of guys that can give you 20 points on any given night. You've got Pat Connaughton can get you 20. Drew Holiday can get you 25 to 30. Grayson Allen put up 25 in a game the other day. Brooke Lopez could get you 20 points. So that roster is deep enough that there's no reason to throw Middleton out there at all in the first two games. So I agree. Maybe throw him out there in games three and or game four and just put a 20-minute cap on him.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Anything else, guys, you guys want to talk about here?
No, just this Jaylen Brown injury is a little concerning for me with the Celtics. I mean, he says he's going to be ready for the playoffs. How do you know? I mean, how is he going to react? I mean, he had the facial injury earlier in the season, and now he's got this hand. He's got this cut on his hand. You know, again, same thing as Middleton. Do you play him in games one and two in the playoffs, first round, or do you just sit him and say, okay, Jaylen, you're not playing. We're going to see how the first two go and then play and then get them in game three or game four. So that's my concern with the Celtics right now.
I mean, you wouldn't think that it's that serious, but it's interesting to me that he suffered the injury while picking up a vase that fell and shattered as he was watering his plants at his house. I can't imagine that that's going to be like a serious. I mean, I know it's his shooting hand, right? Is he not right-handed? So
he's right-handed, yeah.
It's in his shooting hand, so he's got five stitches and a finger.
Yep.
I mean, I just when you've played basketball for that long, which I played basketball for, you know, a lot of different levels all the way through college, and I never had like stitches in one of my shooting fingers, but I at some point it becomes adrenaline, and I would put my level of concern, if we're doing numbers on that, I would put that lower than the Chris Middleton injury because. Yeah. I mean, we don't know how bad the laceration is, but I mean, dude, just tape that shit up. I mean, you gotta be able to, and then it becomes a question of, okay, well, what kind of bandage is going to be on that finger? And is that going to affect his shooting touch?
Yeah.
So, but at some point, especially in the first round, you're going to get used to it in much the same way that you would get used to like a facial mask or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. That's a tough one, man, because he didn't suffer the injury on the court. So it's kind of like you don't really take it seriously, but maybe we should take it seriously because it's could affect his shot. I don't know. I could see it maybe affecting like the 3-point shot. Certainly is not going to affect his defense. If anything, he'll play better defense because maybe he won't be able to offer as much in terms of 3-point shooting and whatnot, but he's still going to get his points. I mean, he's still going to get you like at least 20 points a game in the playoffs. So I don't know. I mean, I need a little bit more information on that one. I need to actually see him play in a game before I can make a decision on how that finger is going to impact him.
I mean, being up here, I put it at a 3-2, but they like the Bucks have a lot of pieces around Jason Tatum that can get the job done in a Derek White, Robert Williams on the inside, Brogdon coming off the bench is probably the sixth man of the year this year. So I think they definitely have enough to get through the first round if Brown's not right. But as we get deeper into the playoffs, again, it's the same thing. You know, you're facing, you know, you could be facing Philly in the second round. You could be facing probably Milwaukee if you make it past Philly. So that'd be my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, if they end up playing Philly, man, that's going to be very, very interesting. But I do like the addition of Malcolm Brogdon, and I think it's nice to have, you know, they got Derek White, if I'm not mistaken, kind of the middle of the season last year. Did they not, or did he play a full season?
He was a draft trade deadline trade. So they
they were trying to kind of work him in, and he's obviously a true point guard like Brogdon, but they didn't really let him play right out of the gate when they acquired him last year. And so now it's kind of like you've got two true point guards on that roster, whereas in the finals last year, they kind of just threw Marcus Smart out there and they didn't really have a true point guard. And so I think Brogdon should make a difference for them, but I'm telling you, dude, the Sixers are hungry. They are a hungry team, and Joel Embiid, you know, even though he's going to win the MVP award, we already know that. Those guys are hungry. And James Harden, I mean, if you need reason to like throw wood on the fire, you just keep talking shit on James Harden, because that guy's never done shit in the playoffs. And so these guys have everything to prove. And it's going to be an interesting matchup if we get that 2-3 Celtics versus Sixers.
Plus, it's not only that, before Tanner goes, it's enough of, they've had enough of the Celtics domination of them in the past 3 or 4 years. They're ready to just finish that off. So it will be a really interesting series.
Awesome, guys. All right. Guys, there's a lot more NBA content coming your way as the play-in starts this week, April 11th. So we'll have more NBA content coming your way. We should kind of have a better idea of the full playoff schedule come next Saturday. So everyone, make sure you guys like, subscribe, follow here at the Sports Buffoons and Let's Talk Sports as well. Guys, we'll catch you later. See you next Saturday.
Outro.